Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I'm pleased to welcome back to the show former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor Bob Ferber. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Lori. How you doing?
I'm great. Bob, Good. You and I were recently chatting about, of all things, dog bites. And one thing you mentioned really deserves sharing with the listeners, which is that people underestimate or are unaware of the various risks they face when they do not control their dogs properly.
Right. It's something that even as a rescuer, I didn't appreciate it until I became a prosecutor. And started to get calls from people all the time in animal control and realized that the media really isn't overestimating it when people read, oh, we read about another dog attack, another person got injured. It's actually, the problem is much, much greater than anything that's even covered in the media. It's, one of the stats that actually shocked me was that every year, about 850,000 people in this country actually get medical treatment. In fact, it's even more. Over 5 million people get bitten each year in this country by dogs, which a portion of those go to medical treatment, 350,000 to ERs. And so the physical injuries and damages, are huge. And we'll talk about it. They're just unbelievable consequences that people, even attorneys, have not really anticipated.
Yeah. Now, Bob, you encouraged me to look at the case of the mauling and killing of Marjorie Whipple in an apartment in San Francisco a few years back. What happened there?
Well, it was first of all, it's kind of interesting to note that the Presa Canarios, which is a very big breed that has been bred to be aggressive, and it was owned by two lawyers. And simply put, it was one of the most horrible things to even read about. Miss Whipple was entering her apartment. She was in a hallway, and the owners of the dogs had their dogs there, these huge animals, and completely lost control. And the dogs attacked her, and there's this dramatic description of her trying to get into her apartment with her keys as the dogs literally tore her apart, and they killed her. And the owners tried in vain to get the dogs off, and of course always told people, oh, don't worry, we can control our dogs. And it was a tragic case, and very controversial. And in the end, the dog owners went to prison, which surprised a lot of people. Other people were surprised they didn't get more prison time. But this was a true murder in the traditional sense. And it really opened up, I think, a lot of people's eyes in this country to the consequences of dogs that are not being restrained or controlled, and that this isn't about just somebody getting nipped on the leg by little Fluffy because he got out of the house or something. It's become an epidemic in this country of injuries, tragic damage to people's lives, their families, financial ruin, So the Whipple case, and it was very sad, but, sort of like the way Michael Vick opened up the people's eyes to dogfighting, the Whipple case opened up people's eyes to, this is something we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, this sure does seem like the worst example one could possibly imagine. But tell us, I know there are so many risks concerning dogs and their people. Explain.
Well, what people see when they see a dog, they typical person, dog lover, I can control my dog. I take my dog off leash. I see Cesar Millan do it, and I can do it. And they're walking down the street, and, most people that I've spoken with say that, my dog will listen to me. And then if I ask what's the worst thing you think can happen, the typical response is, my dog will run in the street, but he knows not to do that. Well, that would be tragic. But what they don't realize is the legal and financial consequences that happen. My favorite example is when people say about their dog running in the street, and, it won't be a big deal, he'll probably be okay. I say, imagine your dog running in the street, and there's a car driving down the street, and that car veers out of the way to avoid your dog, and instead runs up on the sidewalk and kills a person. People may be shocked to find, but you can be prosecuted for manslaughter. You can go to prison for that. You can have financial because you're a dog caused a traffic accident that led to somebody else's death. You can be sued. You can be prosecuted criminally. You can literally have your home, your wages, everything taken away from you for the rest of your life.
And Bob, imagine if you're the person that kills that dog because it got off the leash or was running free in the street, and you're driving down and you accidentally kill that dog. Think about the emotional consequences you're going to have.
Right, and very few people think about that. And when I tell them, can you imagine if you did that to somebody else's dog? Oh, it would be horrible. It would be horrible. But it's amazing, Lori, how people tend to have this sort of narrow view of that, oh, nothing's going to happen. And yet, you know, the statistics are clear. You know, over 5 million people are bitten every year by dogs. And in those cases, you know, almost a million of them have to get medical treatment. And what these statistics don't show is how many people ended up in court, how many people, the tragedies, the scarring, children and adults who've had permanent scarring and maul, had their faces mauled. And so it definitely is something, Lori, that people need to be educated on. And I think the best way that I've done it is by letting people know that the laws, there are laws about this that take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And most people, including lawyers, are like, oh, I walk my dog every day and I take him off the leash. I never imagined that. And I usually start off with when people tell me, oh, my dog will listen. Well, I've worked with very high-end trainers, including Cesar Millan, and they all will say the same thing. If you're walking your dog off leash and there's a squirrel that runs in front of your dog and runs into the street and maybe is even carrying a piece of food or something, it is virtually impossible, unless you are Cesar Millan, and even he wouldn't do it. Your dog will almost certainly go across the street
right.
and chase, and you will not have control. And another situation that people don't anticipate is my dog is friendly. You know, we've all heard that. Oh, don't worry, my dog is friendly if somebody's approaching with another dog. It's amazing, Lori, how few people think, well, what if the other dog is not friendly?
Yeah.
So when you keep your dog off leash or unrestrained in your house when you are visitors, it's not just your dog. It's the children around who may not know what to do. Animals are equivalent to a 1 or 2 year old child. So if you would let your 1 year old child run down the street and possibly run across the street, then, well, people wouldn't do that. And so I remind them that if you wouldn't do it with your child, then you shouldn't be doing it with your dog. But it persists over and over again, and unfortunately, we see it all the time in the court system, that when there's a tragic, tragic injury like the Whipple case, when I would look behind these cases and do my own investigation, I would find out that in almost every case, the dogs had chronic histories of being off leash, having attacked people, bitten, chased cars, bicycles, bitten police officers. And the sad part about this is that our society tends not to take those seriously until there's a serious injury. And so that's, you know, and as a result of that, you know, one of the examples when I was looking up statistics, in 1 year, State Farm Insurance paid out $90 million in 1 year for claims for dog bites. And when you think about it, your listeners, that $90 million came out of people's pockets. That came from people losing their homes, having their wages garnished, the medical bills that were incurred, and of course, permanent scarring and the emotional injury of being attacked by a dog, that lasts forever. Anybody who's ever been bitten, even by their own dog, will admit that this was a traumatic experience. So in the end, there really is only one solution, I think, and that's prevention. But I think the beginning of prevention is people understanding in greater detail, which we can talk about, the legal consequences and actually what happens when, for example, your dog just attacks another dog, because there's actually I would say, two situations that we're talking about. One is a dog injuring another animal, and then there's the dog injuring a human.
Right.
And they both have consequences. But of course, when we go into it, your listeners will see how injuring a human can be catastrophic for everybody involved.
Yeah. So don't go away, because we're talking to Bob Ferber about the consequences when dogs attack. And as Bob alluded to, there's obvious legal, physical, and emotional consequences to these attacks. And we're going to break them down after the break into two situations: when dogs injure another animal or when dogs injure a human. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
You got to pay attention to the small things, kid. Small things matter. Small problems become big problems. Take a transformer. Rain leaks into a transformer, insulation system breaks down. Insulation system breaks down, copper windings overheat. Copper windings overheat, transformer blows. Transformer blows, facility goes dark. Facility goes dark, kid, you don't want to know what happens next. That's why I use Grainger. Grainger helps keep small problems from turning into big problems. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
I'm a carbon fiber 29er full suspension mountain bike. My owner and I are attached to the hip, literally. Or we were, until the apartment got robbed while he was at his vinyasa yoga class. And the burglar used me to make his getaway. My owner's gonna be uber bummed when he realizes I'm gone. I guess he'll have to find another way to get his daily dose of adrenaline. Maybe he can take up urban beekeeping.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
Back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Bob Ferber about the consequences of dog attacks. Bob, when talking about the two situations regarding dog bites, number one, when dogs injure another animal, number two, when dog injures a human, how does the law handle both of these instances?
All right, well, let's talk about the injuring an animal first. That's a little simpler. First of all, sadly, many of us have experienced where our dog or a neighbor's dog has killed a raccoon or a squirrel in the backyard. Unless somebody intentionally causes that, you know, they try to sig their dog on a raccoon or a squirrel, the law doesn't really cover that. It's considered sort of an act of God, if you will. But if a dog injures another pet, then we get into a situation where animal services, which in some cities is animal control or whatever, they get involved. Now the dog is being evaluated for its behavior or its propensity to be dangerous. And the theory is that the animal not only is dangerous to that animal, but would be dangerous to people. As many of your older listeners will remember, most animal control agencies were called animal control, not because they were protecting animals, but protecting people.
Yeah.
So that's the root of where this comes from. So you're walking down the street and a neighbor's dog comes up to you and is off leashes, which is the typical situation, and you try to say something like, my dog's not friendly, and they're, don't worry about it, and then before you know it, their dog is attacking your dog. What would typically happen is the city where you live would, if it gets reported, would impound the dog or force it to be confined in the house. Typically, they'll seize the dog, and that dog ends up going into doggy jail. And during that time, they investigate the background of that dog. Has it had a history of bites? What happened at the time? Was it the victim dog's fault, or was it the other dog's fault? And it, typically with a dog attack on a first time, animals usually get restrictions, like the owner will be told you can't walk the dog in the street anymore. You have to have a muzzle on or you something like that. What's kind of bizarre about the law, Laurie, is that, you know, in most cases when owners don't restrain their dog, what they don't realize is their own dog ends up being the victim. And the perfect example is if your dog's in the backyard and a neighborhood cat goes in the backyard and, you know, is running loose and your dog attacks that cat. Well, this may not be right. I have seen animal control agencies in the country who've seized the dog and threatened to kill the dog for just doing what a dog does. So it's, and I'm not saying that's correct, but it's something that people need to be aware of, that the theory behind that, by the way, for your listeners, is that the law looks at it that the dog owner is responsible for keeping that fence around the backyard so secure that not only does it keep the dog in, but it keeps animals and children out. And, of course, we all realize that if you have a neighborhood cat that stays outside, which I don't believe in, but if you do, a cat's going to jump a fence.
Right.
And hopefully the government will look at that.
Yeah, but Bob, that doesn't seem realistic. You're absolutely right. Let's go back to your walking a dog instance. Let's say I'm walking my pit bull mix on a leash on the street, and another dog is off a leash, a little chihuahua mix, comes running towards my dog, and my dog accidentally bites the chihuahua who's off the leash. Is my dog liable?
Well, it's a good question. question. Now, when I got those cases, I always, if the victim's dog was off-leash, then all deals were off. In other words, the owner was responsible for that, and I could not blame the biting dog. However, again, I'm letting the listeners know not just what the law is, but how it sometimes is gone to an extreme. I have seen animal control agencies in the Southern California area that have taken your pit bull mix and said, "Well, you should have been able to control him," which is obviously unrealistic. And sometimes these dogs end up getting conditions like having to have a muzzle or banished from the city. Rarely in these situations would the dog be destroyed, but it is a consideration, and it's why in many neighborhoods, including mine, when people walk their dogs, they carry. We have a lady that carries a golf club, and I couldn't figure out why she was doing it, and she did it not just to keep dogs away, but she knew that dogs would come up to her. There were so many unleashed dogs in the neighborhood, and she was terrified that they'd come up to her animal, and her animal, which was a big dog, by the way, would end up killing that animal, and she'd have the dog taken away. Mm. In every case, it's so important to have control over your animal, but clearly in some cases you really can't. But luckily in most cases, most city and governments around the country will look at that and say that your pit bull was not at fault, the other person was, and that would be the end of it. And by the way, another consequence of animals going after other animals, people think, oh, I'm going to sue. You know, oh, my little fluffy. I mean, Lori, I've had tragic cases where, you know, I had a woman and her child who watched three bulldogs tear apart their little chihuahua, rescue chihuahua, in front of the child. They were off leash in a non-dog park and tore the animal apart in front of it. And then the dog ran into a street, the chihuahua, to get away and was killed by a car. And the family thought that they could sue for it. Well, the chihuahua had no value according to the law. As many people have heard that phrase, it's property, and it has no, unless it's Lassie or the old famous dogs or something like that, or Frasier's dog, they have no value, and so you can't sue for anything except maybe the vet bills. In this case, the people got the money for the burial costs for their dog, which, of course, was no satisfaction whatsoever. So people shouldn't think that, oh, I'll be able to sue, because you won't be able to. Animals are not considered valuable items the way they are to their individual owners, at least not now. So, Lori, many times people forget we're talking about the consequences and the legal consequences, but if your animal or somebody else's animal kills your pet, the first thing, the biggest loss is not the money, it's not the vet bills, it's not, you know, it's the emotional.
Right.
It's watching every person I've spoken to, Lori, who's ever had a dog injured or especially killed by another dog, lives with nightmares for the rest of their life.
Right.
And for the dog owner that attacked, that person, if they have any sense of responsibility or morality, they also have to live with that. I mean, if one of my animals ever injured another animal, it would ruin my life.
Right.
And so people need to think that while there may not be some criminal aspects to your dog injuring another animal, even though there are laws against it, most cities don't really enforce about animal versus animal, except to decide if an animal is deemed dangerous and then maybe will be taken away or destroyed. But that's rare. But the emotional harm is something that we can't even estimate, and both sides, owners, suffer forever.
After the break, we're going to talk about the consequences of dogs injuring humans with Bob Ferber. Don't go away.
Set them up.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.com.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Does the economy woes and the stock market volatility have you concerned about your ability to invest for retirement? Did you know that you can diversify part or all your retirement into more secure and potentially more lucrative investments? iDirect can show you how to buy real estate, tax liens, and more inside your IRA or 401k rollover. The investment opportunities are really limitless. You don't need to be at the mercy of the stock market with your IRA or 401k. You have options. Call now to learn more about buying alternative investments inside your retirement plan. To get the most value for this investment, you must have $25,000 in rollable retirement funds. Call iDirect now and get the info packet on self-directed IRA investing. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. That's 877-278-1030.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Bob Ferber about dog bites. And if you're just tuning into the show, Bob explained to us the consequences of dogs attacking other animals. Bob, now I want to talk about the consequences of dogs injuring humans. But first, let me ask you, do postal workers really get bitten by dogs?
Actually, and I don't mean, it's not funny, even though TV shows make fun of it sometimes. Yes, they do. An average, if your listeners can believe this, it's true, almost 60,000 letter carriers are bitten each year in our country.
Wow.
And it's not a funny experience. On top of the lawsuits that can happen from that, people often will tell me, well, the letter carrier, I mean, he shouldn't have come into my yard. Well, there's laws that allow letter carriers, UPS people, to come onto properties unless the property is locked with clear signs saying do not ever come on the property. So they come on the property, UPS, postal workers, they get bitten, you get sued, your animal can be taken away, and not only that, it's no small thing, the Postal Service in the United States has a very strict policy. You don't get your mail anymore. You have to go pick it up at the post office. Mm. So it is a real problem, and letter carriers most of the ones I know have tried their best to avoid it, but it's also what some people, if you try to invite your postal worker in to meet your dog, which I sometimes have thought is a good idea, Postal Service is so quote-unquote paranoid that even they're not allowed to even come up to your dog because of the number of bites that have happened over the year. So it's and there's a couple of other, you know, things that probably people don't know. When people read about dogs, we're talking about animals injuring humans, we think of, you know, the proverbial pit bull running out of the yard and running down the street and jumping and tearing somebody apart. The fact is that most injuries that from dog bites come from people trying to break up fights. We go back to between dogs, going back to what we talked about a little earlier. Dog versus dog, owners try to break up the fight, and the dogs do what's called redirected aggression, and before you know it, the human is seriously injured trying to protect Fluffy or the pit bull owner. I don't mean to pick on the pit bulls, but let's say the pit bull is the aggressor. The owner may be seriously injured.
Yeah.
And something also that people don't realize, if it comes to the attention of animal services that your dog attacked another dog and nobody else was injured but you, that still goes on the quote-unquote criminal record of the dog. So even if you say, well, it doesn't matter, my dog just bit me, no. If the government learns about that, that can also result in the legal consequences as if your dog had bitten somebody else. So it's this is a very, very serious problem. And, you know, statistically, it shocks me, but 27,000 people in 2012 needed reconstructive plastic surgery because of dog bites. That included children, women, and 37 people died. So it's, and overall, again, I'm repeating the statistic, we believe it's way over 4.5 million people are bitten every year, humans.
Yeah.
So this is a chronic medical problem. Even the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, categorizes this as a chronic problem in this country.
Yeah, so Bob, explain to us the legal aspects of dogs injuring humans.
Okay, well, going into it, the least serious, well, no, I don't say least serious. There's three ways that the government kind of gets involved in a dog attack against the person. First, there is the you know, local animal control, which is called administrative proceedings. But what it means is simply is that this isn't involving a jury or a judge. This is where your local animal control has tremendous power to seize your animal, put it in the shelter, and have determinations which can take months and months to determine whether your animal can be safely returned to the community. We actually in Los Angeles had a dog once that was in a shelter, a cage, for 2.5 years while the law went back and forth on whether this dog should be euthanized, not euthanized. It ruined the life of the dog owner, even the victims were agonized over just make a decision, kill the dog, get rid of it, do something. And it went on for 2.5 years. And as I said earlier, in the end, the dog is always one of the victims in these cases. So you risk your dog being taken away from you. You risk even restrictions and not being allowed to have another dog for a certain period of time. And by the way, people don't, if your city agency wants to take your animal away and you don't want to give it up, you know, people are like, well, I just won't let them in my house, or I'll get rid of the dog. There are serious criminal laws where, in L.A., for example, LAPD will send out 3 police cars, and they will arrest you and take your animal away, and you will go to jail for not bringing your animal in to be destroyed by animal control. Mm. So this is no joke. Also, this is a big part of this. Animal control will then start, or people like myself as a prosecutor, they start looking into this and finding out in almost every situation that the dog that did an attack against a human had a quote-unquote criminal record. Most dog bites are not actually reported, and your listeners might be surprised to find out why. It's because the people who get bitten by dogs, the most common reaction isn't, I want that dog killed. It's, oh my God, that poor dog, I don't want him killed just because he bit me. And so they don't get reported out of the goodness and the kindness of the hearts of dog owners around the country. But when a real serious bite happens, we find that there is a long record of this. And actually, we could have had opportunities to take some proactive steps. But dog owners who are dog lovers around say, oh, I don't want the dog destroyed. And I understand that. So now, the second thing is civil. Civil meaning, civil consequences, real simple, means you can be sued. Remember, we talked about that when you can't really sue for a dog being injured, but because a dog is not really worth much, according to the law, even though it may be worth billions to you. But a human is priceless, and we're talking now literally millions and millions and millions of dollars. A child that is injured and has a permanent scar, for example, that can be tens of millions of dollars. A child that is disabled, or somebody who's, let's say, just is bitten in the hand and their career depends upon that hand and they are permanently disabled, you as the dog owner can be responsible for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And as I said earlier, the law will, they don't just send you a bill and it doesn't go to collection. They go to your employer, they follow you for life to take your wages away. You won't even see it, your wages, until they first go to the victim. You can lose your car, and in some states you can even lose your home. And bankruptcy usually doesn't even get you out of it. So the consequences of hurting a human are so big, and it's real important for people to understand what we talked about earlier. Just because your dog didn't go after somebody doesn't mean that you're not responsible for the injuries. If your dog causes a traffic accident, if your dog causes somebody else to do something, if even if somebody actually tries to save your dog runs across the railroad tracks and a neighbor tries to save it and they're injured, you can be liable for the injuries or the death of the person who tried to save your dog. So you are strict, and in almost every state in this country, dog owners are strictly liable, meaning that no matter whether it was their fault or not, the government expects them to be responsible and to do everything that they have to do to make sure their animal doesn't injure somebody. That means keeping your fences secure. You know, everybody says, oh, well, my dog sometimes gets out the front door. Your dog gets out the front door and causes a traffic accident, injures a human, mauls them, maims them. This is the same as if you had almost set your dog on that person. Accidental bitings are not excused under the law. We can certainly debate whether that's a good idea or not, but the fact is it is. People with animals have a higher responsibility to protect other people from their animals, and most people don't realize that. And then when you get into the third consequence, and that goes back to, like, the Whipple case, those lawyers who owned those Presa Canarios, they were deemed so irresponsible that they were actually prosecuted for manslaughter, a form of murder, and went to prison. And, in fact, after that case, California upped the sentence and increased the maximum sentence even more, so that now you can actually not just lose your home, lose everything that's important to you. You can actually be put in jail, and there have been. And as a prosecutor, Lori, I'm not ashamed to say there are people that had dogs that were chronically getting out, that were injuring people. And by the time I got the case and learned about the history, I sought jail time. And some of them actually, these are middle class. Upper middle class animal lovers who never did anything wrong except go through a stop sign once, and they're like, "You mean I'm going to jail?" And the answer was yes.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's really incredible. So dog is always at fault, and the dog owner is always at fault, no matter what the situation is. That's a good lesson to keep in mind. Don't go away. More with Bob Ferber right after the break.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
Every time I rev my engine down an open stretch of road, I'm glad I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because nothing feels better than saving money with Geico. Except maybe the time I saved a life. A squirrel's life. Gave that little feller mouth to mouth, and then he bit me. On second thought, saving money with Geico probably feels better.
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
You got to pay attention to the small things, kid. Small things matter. Small problems become big problems. Take a transformer. Rain leaks into a transformer, insulation system breaks down. Insulation system breaks down, copper windings overheat. Copper windings overheat, transformer blows. Transformer blows, facility goes dark. Facility goes dark, kid, you don't want to know what happens next. That's why I use Grainger. Grainger helps keep small problems from turning into big problems. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Tomcat kills up to 12 mice per bait block, faster than decon. What will we do with all of these dead mice? Tomcat presents Dead Mouse Theater, and the critics are raving. They solved my mouse problem and renewed my faith in theater. I like my mice dead, but dead mice that can act are even better. Tomcat got the mice out of my walls, onto the stage, and into my heart. Dead Mouse Theater, open to the public this fall at Tomcat.com. Tomcat, engineered to kill. One ounce bait block based on no choice lab tests. Time for lethal dose today.
Back to Animals Today. We're talking to Bob Ferber. Bob, I want to now talk about solutions. How can we reduce the number of dog bites?
Okay. Well, you know, I think it's important to say that the knee-jerk reaction to some of this around the country has been the very controversial bans of certain breeds. We'll cut the, you know, because pit bulls have a lot to do with it, or a lot of times the ones that can cause the most serious bites. We've seen cities starting in Denver and Florida and other places to ban these breeds. Is that the answer? Let's kill more animals and hopefully the animals won't kill people. No, that's not the answer. And in fact, as a prosecutor, I can say that while I was imposing very serious consequences to people whose dogs bit other people and had chronic histories of getting out and irresponsible owners, and believe me, I was not well-liked by the court system or my office. They believed I was still wasting the court's time, even with cases where people were badly attacked. But is even showing consequences when that we talked about when a dog does attack, that's not the long-term solution because the attack has already happened. A solution-based approach to any problem in our society is a solution that really is a solution that will solve the problem. And to me, there's only one real way to do that, and that's prevention. And prevention, again, is not by killing all the dogs or breeds that we think might attack or are most likely to attack. As some, I'm sure your readers know, the most biting dog in the country is a Chihuahua, not a pit bull. It's about education. It's holding people not just responsible when their dog does actually kills, but when they are doing things that lead to it. And what we're talking about is failing to restrain their dog, walking their dog off leash, putting their dog in the back of a pickup truck in a supermarket parking lot and leaving it there so that the dog can jump out and bite people, which, by the way, is an extremely common situation. Not maintaining their fences, being sloppy opening the front door, taking their dog into places where they're not supposed to and saying, well, I can trust my dog. And so typically communities take this very lightly. And in fact, they just give them a small fine and rarely do they ever get caught. If a neighbor, for example, says this dog is always off leash, most cities, the animal control people will say, well, if I didn't see it, I'm not going to do anything about it. Now, that doesn't mean the law says they can't do anything, but it's a typical attitude of government is, if we didn't see the dog off leash, which is rare, because to catch that in the act, so neighbors see dogs chronically off leash, they're frustrated, they become anti-dog, it causes neighborhood problems, and ultimately the worst thing ends up happening, which is finally that dog attacks another animal, or even worse, attacks and injures, or in the worst case, maims or kills another person. That's when government says, well, now we're going to get involved. And I've seen that, Lori, over and over again, where I look into behind the stories of the Whipple case and the hundreds, or the actually, we're talking about the hundreds of thousands of dog bites in the country. And when I look behind the stories, I found out that in almost every case, these dogs were illegally off leash over and over and over again, or they got out of their yards over and over again, and sometimes got dozens of warnings. I mean, where animal just goes out and gives them one warning after another, and nothing happens. And what people do with these warnings is the attitude is, I'll just pay the fine.
Yeah.
And something that I did, which I'm very proud of, and it was very controversial, I realized that people paying a fine was not enough. Especially in the upper, you know, the well-to-do neighborhoods in Los Angeles, people, it's a cost of doing business. Also, I pay a $50 fine when my dog's off-leash. Big deal. At least a couple of $100 a year, maybe at most, and I get to walk my dog off-leash. Well, I didn't like that. So what I did was, through a special program, people who had their dogs unrestrained, off-leash, running around loose, Animal Control brought those cases to me as a criminal prosecutor, and to these people's shock, and even my colleague's shock, I filed criminal charges against these people under existing laws that you could go to jail for up to 6 months for not having your dog off leash. And Lori, I can tell you that I turned the courthouse upside down. People in the hallways were coming in screaming, middle-class people, property owners, realtors, lawyers, doctors, you can't do this to me. I didn't do anything. I just had my dog running loose. And what I would do is, and many of them said, where do I go to pay the fine? And my answer was, it's not that easy. I want you to know why we're doing this. This isn't because government just doesn't like your dog off leash. And then I would go through all the consequences, literally in the hallway outside the courtroom. I would have people who were all there for their dogs unrestrained and explain to them in a very nice way, wearing my animal ties, in my suit, explaining that I'm an animal lover, and this is what happens when your dog is unrestrained. And we go through everything that you and I've just talked about for the last hour. At the end of that 15, 20 minutes, their jaws drop, and they're like, most everybody that was charged with these crimes comes to me and says, oh, my God, I didn't realize this. Thank you. And then when they go into court, instead of being fined for and getting a $50, $100 fine, which goes into the government bank account, I would tell them that their punishment is, you can volunteer for an animal group, you can make a donation to an animal group, and as long as you don't let your dog off leash again, you get your case dismissed. So that, and as a result of that program, rescue groups around the city got a lot more volunteers, because many of these defendants called me and said, you know what, I'm now going to keep volunteering for that group because it was so inspiring. So it was a matter of, there's consequences followed by education and basically a reward, which is, by following the law, you're rewarded with basically no record and, in most cases, no fine, just helping other animals. But you know the sad part, Lori? I got a lot of criticism for it. There's trends in the government that's saying, well, we don't have time for these smaller crimes. And that program, unfortunately, was phased out, even though there were judges that said it was innovative, effective. But in the end, the program stopped. I would hope that your listeners would think about stuff like that. Feel free to contact me at animallawyer@yahoo.com, and I'd be glad to encourage your listeners to how to contact their community and maybe get programs like that into place so we don't have to see more dogs and people injured and killed in this country.
Bob Ferber, I love that approach, by the way. Former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor Bob Ferber, thank you so much for your expertise.
You're welcome.
And I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner, encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.